Right, third, fourth, fifth attempt, whatever it is. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome back to the Adam Evelyn podcast, a podcast all about self-improvement, personal development, working on yourself and becoming the best possible version of yourself. So been excited to get this podcast done just because I've been excited by a new podcast equipment and I've been dying to try it out. So I've got two microphones set up, got the lights set up, got it all plugged into my laptop. So hopefully this works and the sound is good. And it's the first podcast that I'm doing with a guest as well. So my assistant coach and a coach in himself, online coach, Lee is here. We're going to talk a lot about dad life. So Lee, if you want to introduce yourself.
Yeah. My name's Lee. I work as a health and fitness coach, online coach too, like Adam. I work mainly predominantly with parents and obviously trying to fit health, life, everything in to a sustainable parent life. And obviously using my experience and what I've done over the years, what I've been taught and learned to help parents do that. So, yeah.
So, yeah, like I say, today's episode is going to be a little bit about dad life. But before we get into sort of that, I just kind of want to fire a few questions across at Lee to just figure out a little bit more about him. Because to be honest, like we know each other quite well, but we don't know each other proper well. So I'm quite intrigued to kind of know how you got into fitness and what made you... Yeah, how did you get into fitness?
Yeah, well, I would say it came from early age, like when I was a little kid. Literally played every sport under the sun, was always active, was always playing football, was in football kits from an early age. Managed to become pretty decent at it. Got into full-time football and then realised that I was a goalkeeper trying to play a men's sport and I was about 10 stone wet through. Not even 10 stone probably. I was like so weak, I was so small, so skinny. And I had to then build up a relationship with fitness, with food, to work out obviously how to make myself better in that respect, so I could go and sort of be able to
dominate.
Play football.
Yeah, dominate.
Could say so, but
that's, yeah, I'd say that's kind of one of the reasons why I got into fitness as well, because I used to play a lot of football. My dream as a child was to be a professional footballer. I used to do like bodyweight stuff in my room all the time, like press ups, sit ups, squats. Didn't really do squats actually, but I did skip leg day. But no, that's kind of how I got into it as well. And those, do you know, during lockdown, when everyone started doing bodyweight things again, it kind of reminded me of when I was younger days. how I actually started it.
Yeah.
What football teams did you play for?
So I started just a local Sunday League team, and then I signed for Grimsby when I was like 11, and then I stayed there until I was 16, signed a scholarship, and then I was there for 3 years.
Well, I didn't actually know. Yeah. I knew you played football, but I didn't know who.
Yeah, I got a year's professional contract when I was 18, and obviously so I basically lived my dream for a year, which was like amazing. I never, like, obviously it didn't end how I wanted it to, but like you'll never be able to take that year off me, and I achieved some like childhood dreams basically.
I think one of the best things that happened to me was realizing that, to be honest, I still think, I do genuinely believe that I was good enough to play professional football. But at 16, like you end up, well, I ended up going out drinking on the streets. And at the time, I was with Donnie, and I actually quit just because I wanted to go out and drink on the streets. And I regretted it so much. And that's kind of, I think I was about 15, actually. I don't think I was 16. And I regretted it that much that was kind of the driving force for me to get into the gym and really push. And then I fell in love with that. And then that's kind of why I pushed with my bodybuilding, because I wanted to put my focus into something as well. Yeah. How did you transition across to becoming a personal trainer?
So online coach? Like it went through stages. So once I finished playing football, I started doing sports coaching for like kids with PE and all that kind of stuff. So obviously I always had my hand in with that. I was doing football camps and all that kind of stuff. I actually moved. So I used to live in Boston, Lincolnshire, obviously moved to Doncaster. And then I started doing an office job, and I was like, quickly realized, I was like, this is not the life I want to live. Like, I do not want to be sat at a desk all the time. It just wasn't for me. So then I took my PT qualification, like I think it was probably 7 years ago now, and started like one-to-one PT and just built up from there. And then slowly over the time, I sort of realized that because I was still in my office job because of life, mortgages, all that kind of stuff, like you need that secure income. And I found my way into online coaching. And then I just was like, as soon as I started doing it, I was just like, wow, this is like really for me, this is like best of both worlds.
Yeah, I actually want to spend a bit of time on that because I was actually thinking about that this morning because I put that video out about James Smith and I kind of actually forgot that if it wasn't for him, and I've got no hate against him, by the way, I do actually like him. I like his content. He can be very combative with his content, but that's kind of how he's made his living, isn't it? But
that's why he is, yeah.
I was listening to his podcast. I was on a building site up in the northeast. I think it was near Durham because I was actually stopping with my grandparents because that's where my grandparents are from. But I was working on this building site on my own. It was freezing. I was a little bit lost. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew that I wasn't happy in the job that I wanted to do. And actually listening to that podcast gave me the motivation to... I listened to his podcast, listened to his story, and I rang up Origin, the personal training thing. Literally after listening to his first couple of podcasts, I was like, I'm booking my PT course. So I've got to hand it to him if it wasn't for him. But like, just the shackles that came off when, because I knew deep down that I was not happy doing the job that I was doing. Yeah. And it's personal training, online coaching can be ruthless. It can be hard. Like if you've not got leads coming in, you've not got, clients coming in and you're wondering like, right, I need to keep pushing with content. I need to find ways to get clients in, but it's much, much more rewarding than going to a job that you don't like.
Yeah. And like by coaching people, you're basically like you're sort of using your own, because it's your drive. Like you want to help people. You want to teach things that you enjoy teaching and talking about. But at the same time, you want other people to then gain from your experience, from your knowledge. And you want to help people to become a better version of themselves too. Yeah. That doesn't have to be just from like achieving a fat loss goal or like whatever, but it's like all around general life, isn't it? Like for us both, as soon as we caught that fitness bug, it's like you can't get out of it now because you just love doing something. There's always something that you want to do. And it's that kind of change of concept for everybody, I think.
Yeah,
once massively. You start doing it, once you start living a healthy lifestyle, once you start exercising regularly, and you achieve like feeling how great you feel from it, it's like a bug, you just can't get rid of it. And that's mindset switch as well. But like, that's, I think that's everyone's how they want to feel at certain points. It's just,
would you find with your clients when they come to you for weight loss, by the end of it, they don't really care about the weight loss, they just care about feeling fit, feeling strong, like loving the training, like feeling amazing from the training, eating healthy food, not feeling fatigued, tired, lethargic all the time, like, and just feeling like they've got energy. Do you find that happens with your
100%? And I think like that's the first thing, is the initial stage. Like I would say probably the first 3 months, it's like trying to change that perception.
100%. Yeah.
And like, it's easy to do it for a week or 2 weeks. But it's really hard to continuously keep doing it. And if you have a bit of a bad day, it's like not letting it get you too much. I say it quite a bit, is like, don't get too low when you're low and don't get too high when you're high. Like find that middle ground and try and sort of, again, it's consistency as well, isn't it? Like once you start being consistent, once you enjoy it, like you say, once your energy gets up, your mood gets up, you feel like you're actually in control of what you're doing. You're not bound by a meal plan or a diet plan or like how many sins you're having and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And just enjoying food, feeling good for what you're eating. Once you start exercising, feeling good from your exercise. And then I think over time, I say it a lot as well, is build momentum.
Yeah.
The more you keep doing it, you build momentum, you feel good for it.
And then it turns into a lifestyle because you get to a place where you feel amazing and you just don't want to go back.
Yeah, yeah. And you stop worrying so much about like, am I going to achieve what I want to achieve? Am I going to do this, that, and the other? I'm just going to fail again like I've done before.
Yeah.
And again, change your perception of it all.
Yeah.
Massively helps. And then as time goes on, the more and more you keep going, like you say, people then stop worrying so much about what the scales say, stop worrying so much about how fast or slow they're going, but actually just enjoying the process and probably feeling confident enough that they're going to get there as long as they keep doing what they need to do correctly.
Is that exactly like you said, the first couple of months when a client that comes on board for weight loss, my job is kind of to stop them actually focusing on weight loss, and it's more to try and get them to like feel great from exercising, feel amazing from eating good healthy food, and like just trying to get them to like shift that mindset. And if you feel amazing, if you're like feeling healthy, feeling fit, strong, like you've got good cognitive function, you're waking up fresh, ready to attack the day because you're sleeping well, mm-hmm. like all these things, you don't really care about what the weight on the scale says because you're just feeling great. And often the weight on the scales will take care of itself if you're in a good mood. Yeah,
it comes eventually.
Yeah.
I think one the big thing that I love seeing from clients is when they'll say, message me, or they'll do a progress photo, and they're like, wow, I can't believe how different I look. I can't believe I've just achieved this. Like one of my clients this week messaged me saying, oh, I finally achieved 5 press-ups. I couldn't do one at the start.
Yeah.
And it's stuff like that. I think they're the big things for me that are like the light bulb moments where you're like, wow, I've actually achieved something that I didn't at the start. And so the scale weight comes a bit of irrelevant.
Yeah.
Obviously, you still want to, most of the clients that we have are weight loss clients. They want to lose weight. They want to feel better in themselves and they want to do all the stuff that they need to do, but it's these little key features that kind of build up over time, which again changes the perception of not just seeing the scales go down, but other areas of life improving too.
So that's the big message from this podcast already. Yeah. Don't care about what the weight on the scale says. Focus more on feeling amazing, and then the weight on the scales will take care of itself.
Absolutely.
So we digressed a little bit then, but how did you transition from did you work at a car?
Yeah, so I worked at Mercedes.
Yeah.
In just an office job. And I was there for like 7 years or so.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, like I enjoyed parts of it and I enjoyed the community base of like, and I've never, there's obviously really good things with office jobs, like all the, there's a lot of plus points to being in that role as well. But for me, it was never that internal feeling of it all that I really wanted me to drive me there. So I often, sorry to jump in,
because I was thinking about this a little bit this morning and I heard this, I can't remember whether it was a podcast or a book, but most jobs will pay you enough to stop you from leaving, but pay you just little, not enough to keep you unhappy.
That is so true.
And I might have butchered that a little bit, but it's so true. And I was exactly the same.
I
got paid all right and I was comfortable I got a wage coming in week by week by week. And we were always moaning, saying, oh, I should get paid a little bit more. But then we'd do nothing about it because we were comfortable.
Yeah.
So that was my situation. And then it took, and fair play to James Smith, because it took his podcast to make me think, do you know what? Fuck it. I can do it. I can. And then I went and did my PT stuff. And then obviously that Married at First Sight came along. I got a bit of a following off the back of that. And then the online coaching sort of happened, but that was all put in place from things that I kind of wanted and the beliefs that I had. So how was the transition?
Yeah, so transition was like, it was weird. So obviously, like I said, I was there for a good like 7 years. So I've been online coaching for like probably a year or so.
Yeah.
And then like I had like a big life change sort of 18 months ago. Had to then transition into different ways to live in. Obviously, I still have my job. I was looking after my son at the time. I was still trying to play football semi-pro, still trying to get gym sessions in, still trying to run my online business. I was just like so many plates spinning all at once.
Yeah.
But I somehow managed a way to do it.
You do, like when you have to, you get it done, don't you?
You do. And then all of a sudden, I think it was like June or maybe May or June last year. I think when we first met, I started working with you as well. I was just like, there's so much more that I could actually do, and I'm kind of being held back by my 9-to-5 job. Yeah, it's giving me a comfortable wage. It's keeping me going. Like, it's helping support me what I need to do right now. But I was like, do I want to do that forever? Not really. Am I going to have to take a risk? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just one day, I just walked in, and I was actually having my one-to-one review with my boss, and I just said, by the way, I'm going to leave. I want to know.
Was it freeing when you did it? Was it like,
wow? It was so invigorating, and I just felt like a massive weight off my shoulders.
Yeah.
And like, still now, like obviously you get times where you like have a bit of self doubt, you have a bit of worry.
Yeah.
But the more you keep, and you can probably harp this back to what like weight loss and everything, but the more you keep doing the reps, the more you keep doing the things you know you need to do to achieve the goal that you have, you do it, don't you?
If you believe in yourself and you put the work in, like you can achieve anything. And sometimes you've got to get through the hard points, and there they are. And this is so cliche, but those moments are what make you, like, and what push you and keep you working hard and keeping that belief in what you wanted to do.
Yeah, that's it. And I think obviously everyone has a bit of an end goal. There's always steps and there's little goals to get you there. But once I handed that notice, I was like, right, this is me. And like, I took a next step, another step, a step that I didn't have because I was so bound by all the different plates I was spinning.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was probably me, like the way I was kind of having to do so much stuff. Like I stopped playing football, for instance, because of the time allowance and that kind of stuff. And yeah, it just made me realize that there's a lot of things that I wanted to do more of, prioritize.
Yeah.
And yeah, and that's kind of how I became a parent coach as well, because like...
Yeah, talk a little bit more about that. What made you sort of go down that route?
So like the best results that I was... Once I started online coaching and helping people out, all the people that I was probably helping were pretty much parents. Yeah. And it just like, I could understand their situations more. I could realize that they didn't have time to go to the gym 5 times a week. They didn't have time to make big fancy meals and all that kind of stuff. And I had to plan ahead. They had to prepare and all that kind of stuff. And then I was just like, why don't I physically like set my sights purely on helping parents, like concentrate more on all the stuff that they need help with the most. I can help them more because all my content and everything's going to be based around it. I use my own experience from obviously having an office job and having to somehow fit a couple of workouts in a week, having to get all my food prepped, making my tea at 9:30 at night because I'd just got my son to bed and I had to do some work and I still had to eat and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to then help other people, show them that it can be done and you don't have to spend hours and hours a week training, like making food, making loads of different meals, like not knowing what to do, like using ways out, i.e. like thinking I can't eat this, I can't eat that, so I can't go on a diet and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, just finding, I think, for me, it was finding the control in your life to still be able to do all these things and stay on top of your health and fitness. And for me, that's my main drive behind it now, is like, yeah, showing parents how they can still live a happy, healthy lifestyle. Obviously, setting goals like weight loss goals, fitness goals, lifestyle goals, but showing them how to do that in pretty much 5-6 hours a week and showing that it can be done. It's just as long as you know how to do it, how to plan,
yeah,
and how to execute it.
Yeah, and find that balance as
find
well.
Find the balance, yeah, definitely.
That's one thing I always go back to. I did a webinar with my clients the other day, and every question that they kind of had, because I asked them questions, and it almost every answer that I had came back to sort of like balance and not going into self-sabotage mode, knowing that it's all right to go out for a meal, like have a few drinks, that like you don't have to like live like on a diet 24/7. All of the time. It's that having that balance is key, and that's how it becomes a lifestyle, that's how it becomes sustainable, because it doesn't feel like a diet. And if you can do that over a long period of time, it just becomes like automation.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you're like massively on that with balance as well, especially as a parent. Like,
yeah,
a lot of my clients are like, weekdays they'll do X and then weekends is like completely different. Like, how do I stay on track at a weekend, how do I do this and all this? And it's just making sure you can find that balance and like knowing in yourself, like, I don't have to be on a diet every day. I can just live a normal lifestyle. I can have fun with my kids. I can go out and eat a McDonald's on a Saturday afternoon.
As long as you just keep one eye on things.
Yeah.
Like,
as a moderation.
Yeah.
Like, moderation is so key in a diet. And I think as long as you can keep 80 to 90% of your diet on point at all times, that extra 10%, it goes into that, because you're so heavily progressed on that side of things, you're taking care of everything 80 to 90% of the time. That 10% just
the way I
noticing it, really.
Yeah, the way I describe it to my clients is the kind of exactly how you said it. But if you can get 80% of good, healthy food in, nutritious food, food that's good for you, like food that if you potentially trying to lose weight, food that's potentially within that calorie deficit, and then the last 20%. Like, just have that balance. If you want to go out for a meal every now and again, go out for a meal. If you want to have a takeaway every now and again, as long as you're getting a good balance of healthy food in, like, then that 20%, that often with that 20%, you do have to still make good, healthy choices. Like, if you can make good, healthy choices, obviously do that. But then there's always that little room for having a, like, not a blowout, but like a bit of
not
a
cheat day.
Yeah. it's always weird how to word it, because everyone, like, you say cheat day, people get annoyed. You say, it's just hard how to. I always struggle whenever I'm doing content.
I feel for you as well, to be fair. On that But that's what it's about. Like, I think as well, I feel like we'll both live the life as well. Like, we'll eat healthy 80%
of the time.
But then, like, every night I'll have a chocolate bar or a couple of biscuits somewhere at night. But do you know what? It fits in with what I need to do, and it makes sure that I have that kind of. I don't like to say the word treat, but like, you always think, well, at the end of the day, I know I've already got that I've got that bit of galaxy that I'm going to have at night with my cup of tea, and that's going to just sort of satisfy my little craving that I'm going to have every day, and it's just going to keep me on point.
I'm exactly the same. If we haven't got treats in the cupboard, I have to go out. And this is why I preach this, and not many people are going to have my metabolism, and I get that. And this is why I don't really like say this that much, but I eat sweets or like chocolate almost every single night, but I don't ever really have burgers. I don't really have pizzas. I don't really have takeaways because meal-wise, I'm really boring. Like I have the same breakfast every morning through the day.
To be a bit boring, don't you?
Yeah, I enjoy it. Like I'm weird. I can eat dry food, but I have the same breakfast every day. I have the same sort of lunches, similar snacks, all pretty decent. And then I have a good meal on an evening. I make sure to get plenty of veg in. And then after that, that's my treat. That's when I'll sit down and I'll have like a bag of sweets or a chocolate bar or something like that, and it works for me. And then I don't even track anything through the day because I spent years tracking, and I just know what food it contains. Yeah. I could probably tell you reviewing my day without even looking how much protein I'm eating. And this is one thing that I do with my clients towards the back end, because we do it a little bit different, like our kind of approach, don't we?
To
coaching. It's similar. It's similar. So you go more into sort of like tracking, don't you?
At the start, yeah.
Yeah.
But again, it's a bit like you. Like at the end, I say this a lot to my clients, where it's like, at the end, like you mentioned, after so long of like people typically same kind of meals, once you get into it, five meals at probably breakfast time, five at dinner, five in the evening.
Yeah.
You just end up rotating it, don't you really? So once you say, like you say, once you start tracking your food and you know exactly what's going in and going out, once you probably come into the end of the diet as well, it allows you to be a little bit more adventurous, not trackers like, and then like you say, over time you want to just come out of it and then feel probably like we do, where we're like, I don't need to track food because I know what's going in. I know that I'm eating 80-20 every day, and I feel good for it. And you don't need to, because at the end of the day, you don't want to be on a diet forever.
No.
Do you? So you want to go into some kind of how you just maintain your results and move on to different goals at some point in your journey.
I always say the goal for any coach would be to get a client from not knowing what they're doing to at the end knowing exactly what they're doing, knowing how to do it themselves, and knowing how to, like, if they want to push harder, if they want to maintain. Yeah. And like I always say, like, the first few months of working with a client is going to be where I try and get that structure in through a meal plan, and we really work on finding out what works for you. The last couple of months are more focused about maybe tracking food, finding different ways, maybe doing it without tracking food, maybe like eyeballing things and trying to get them to really fit it into their lifestyle, so when they come to the end of it, they've had that practice, they know what they're doing. And we went off again on a massive tangent talking about fitness and coaching, but it was it was good. So dad life.
Yeah, so into dad life. Yeah. Who's going first, me or you? I've got a few years more experience on you on the dad life.
Yeah, I'll ask a question first. So
I'll go into yours.
How old?
See if it's the same.
How old's Jesse?
Jesse's four and a little bit. Into big school next year, which is frightening. But
how quick has that gone?
So quick.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the first year, like, is quite, like, it's quite all right.
And then there's lots of milestones in the first year.
Yeah, and I think as soon as, like, get on the feet and moving around, and then, like, next thing you know, it's nursery. And then next thing you know, like, at nursery, like, full time. And then next thing you know, you're just going, like, where is this time going? It's, like, ridiculous. But it's, like, you look back, it's such, like, obviously I've a bit further ahead than you, but, like, it's such an amazing thing to know where we started from, the kind of things you help them with.
Yeah.
Obviously the position he's in now and what he's probably going to achieve.
Yeah.
Like, I've booked him in for his first football thing.
Is he playing football?
So he's going to be,
are you going to be
he's
one
not
of those
massively into football, but I'm just like, do you know what? I'm going to take him, see how he gets on. But I'm like proper buzzing to get him his kit.
Are you going to be one of those proper pushy dads that really take
my, I wouldn't do that. My dad was never the same with me, and he obviously didn't mean that long, did he?
See, I don't know if I am. I've got a feeling I'm going to be quite, not overly pushy, but like, I'm going to be like,
in the right way.
Yeah, like you, if you're not first, you're last. No, I'm joking. I'm not going to be like that. But for me, like, one of my big beliefs is really like working hard at things and like taking it as far as you can. Yeah. So it's going to be a bit of a battle in my head of like how hard I push them to do things, because I want them to be successful, but then you've always got
to push them in the right way, though. Yeah, like, lead 100%. Them down the right path, haven't you?
Yeah,
You'll have, like, come on your time, but
Bo's going to be a Olympic gymnast.
Gymnast, yeah.
Have you seen those TikToks where like the dads are doing the gymnastics? Yeah, yeah.
What about have you seen the skiing ones? When the little kids are going skiing? I saw one the other day. And there's like these like 2 year olds going down a ski slope.
Really?
He's still got his dummy in.
Brilliant. Sick. I've got a story about that when we went skiing in France, because I've always had to do things like really quick, now. Always like when my brother first started playing football, I'm 2 years younger than him, I had to play as well. So I ended up playing in his football team like two years at like five or whatever it is. I think first is under sevens, isn't it? Or it was. So I was playing at like five in under sevens. And I always just had to do everything. So we went skiing for the first time with my family and we'd never been skiing before. And me and my two brothers were on the practice slopes. And then by the end of the day, my dad came down. And I was like, Dad, I need to come on the big slopes. I swear to God, I was only like four or five. And then he took me on the big slope. He was like, right, you need to be really careful. We need to take it so slow and down. Swear to God, I just went straight down. My dad couldn't catch up with me. And then I turned around at the bottom and I was like, let's do it again.
Fight or flight, that one.
Yeah. You've got to jump and grow your wings on the way down. Yeah.
So talk us through your dad life so far.